Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. This is, of course, Eric Dean, your Mile High Sports beat writer and reporter covering all things Colorado Avalanche, coming to you live here on Sunday afternoon following Colorado's fourth and final day of training camp. Today, after the first session skated, which was a very veteran-heavy session, we were in the dressing room talking to some of the guys. I personally was having a great conversation with Alexander Georgiev, and Colorado's PR team had let us know that we needed to leave because players were starting to pour into the room. All the rookies, the ones that they have in a different dressing room, the youngsters, the guys on ATOs, amateur tryouts, the players that are primed for the AHL and for the ECHL, they all were coming into the room for a presentation and a meeting with the head coach, which obviously was signifying the end of training camp and the beginning of preseason, which is wild to think that if you don't hear this episode till Monday morning, the Colorado Avalanche take on the Dallas Stars here in Denver at Ball Arena Monday, 7 o'clock puck drop for their first game of the preseason. Going back to that first group, today we saw a little bit of a change. We continued to see Drouin, McKinnon, and Rantanen play together, but Casey Mittelstadt had a couple of different line mates. A couple days ago, he had Yuri Inala and Nikolai Kovalenko, but Kovalenko was back with the youngster group in Group 2, and joining them was somebody that I spoke about just a couple days ago as being an option that Jared Bednar would probably go back to at some point, or not back to, but would go to at some point, and that's Logan O'Connor playing on that line with Mittelstadt and Inala. Logan O'Connor is, as I said a couple days ago, he's Jared Bednar's safety net. He is the Swiss Army knife, similar to how JT Compher used to be. He's the guy that when you want to know what you're going to get from a player, hardworking, you know, talent, he's going to score you goals, but not score you a whole heap and ton of them. This is the guy you go to. Now, the cool thing about Logan O'Connor, if you actually look back at his game log and remember what happened last year, a couple days before the Avalanche had that wild, wild day where they traded Ryan Johansson to the Flyers in a deal that brought in Sean Walker, and then an hour later turned around and swapped Bowen Byram to Buffalo for Casey Mittelstadt in a huge one-for-one trade, that was 2 days after Logan O'Connor played his last game of the season before being out for the remainder of the year and missing the playoffs. So Logan O'Connor and Casey Mittelstadt have never actually played together as teammates, which is pretty crazy to say out loud, but it is absolutely the truth. So Logan O'Connor getting a shot in the top six, like I was saying, is not surprising to me. Had you asked me before training camp began, when we knew that obviously Gabe and Val wouldn't be ready, and when we started to learn that Arturi Lehkonen is going to miss training camp, which more on him shortly, I right away, the first name that stuck out to me was Logan. And the second name, honestly, was Nikolai Kovalenko, who Jared Bednar has time and time again over the last 3-4 days complimented the young Russian on playing great during training camp, you know, going down on one knee, blocking a shot, and even throwing in quotes on if he's willing to do that here at training camp, then we know he's going to do that in the regular season. So if you ask me, without Arturi Lehkonen, I could see Mittelstadt playing between O'Connor and Kovalenko being that top six, or whatever, the second line of the top six. But Yuri Inala continues to get opportunities, and he's getting another one, and he got another one here in the final day of training camp. I'm really curious who the Avalanche play against the Dallas Stars, and I'm really curious if that's going to be a trio just to see what Yuri can do with this team. But with that, O'Connor was split from his usual line mates, the quote-unquote Roaring 20s line, with Ross Colton at center and Miles Wood on the left wing. That line skated together for the first 3 days of camp before the change was made, and replacing him, because of Logan O'Connor getting that shift up to the second line, replacing him was the guy that played with him quite a bit, and played on that line, I should say, quite a bit during the playoffs, and it's Joel Kiviranta, who obviously re-signed for a one-year deal this past summer. So Kiviranta, Colton, and Wood. Fourth line, Pierre-Édouard Bellemare centering Chris Wagner and Parker Kelly. All three of those guys are centermen. Bellemare, obviously, we know is a centerman. Chris Wagner, obviously a centerman. Parker Kelly, not 48 hours ago, well, just over 48 hours ago, I should say, Jared Bednar did mention Parker Kelly was going to get a look at center, and he has been getting those looks up until Sunday's action. On defense, I think something that was really interesting was seeing the way that Jared has continued to scramble the defensive pairings in something that he made a comment at on Wednesday in the opening day, or sorry, Thursday after the opening day of camp, where he jokingly said, Devon Taves and Kale McCarr are going to have to learn to play without each other, which we obviously know has happened in the past. He has done that, but he continues to scramble the pairings. And I think it's really interesting that he's doing this, but I have a reason as to why. But first, let me go over these pairings. He's got 9 defensemen skating with that group one today, and he had another 7 skating in group two. But in group one, Kale McCarr on the right side with Eric Brandstrom on the left, Sam Girard and Josh Manson on the second pairing, per usual. Devon Taves with Oliver Shillington, Callie Rosen with Sam Malinsky, and Calvin DeHaan as number 9. If you ask me, I think I've said this before, assuming that the immigration issues that we spoke about Oliver Shillington don't end up getting in the way and don't end up being a reason why he needs extra time to get up to speed, the opening night with everybody being healthy lineup that I could see starting the season on the blue line is Taves McCarr, Girard Manson, Brandstrom, and Shillington. But obviously today they have McCarr with Brandstrom, Taves with Shillington. So they've kind of flipped those two pairings just a little bit, mixing and matching. And going back to why I think this is happening, Jared Bednar has had a lot of turnover on this team since the start, or since the Stanley Cup team. And even before that, in the year before that, if you remember, Brandon Saad went to St. Louis. Jonas Donskoy was selected in the expansion draft. Pierre-Edouard Belmar ended up walking, signing with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Matt Calvert retired. The Avalanche had a ton of turnover. You know, it wasn't a couple years before that was the year where they brought in Donskoy and Burakovsky and Kadri and Belmar. They've had changes upon changes upon changes. And then in the 2022 season, leading up to the trade deadline, they had claimed Nicholas Obey-Kubel off of waivers. Then they traded Jost for Sturm. Then they brought in Manson. Then they brought in Lekkonen. Then they brought in Cogliano. And of course, the rest is history. They won the Stanley Cup against the Tampa Bay Lightning and Pierre-Edouard Belmar, or as he put it, when we lost to you motherfuckers, when he was speaking with us in the dressing room the other day. But since then, turnover on the blue line wasn't really commonplace with this team. I mean, McCarr and Taves has been a thing since well before the Cup, during COVID. Girard and Manson became a thing during the playoffs and during the late regular season following the trade deadline acquisition of Josh Manson. Of course, we did see Sam Girard get injured in that St. Louis Blues series in 2022. So he didn't finish the playoffs, obviously. He was out for the year. He didn't finish the playoffs with Manson, but he has since then continued to play mostly with Manson. And then on the third line, it was always a combination of 3 guys: Bowen Byram, Eric Johnson, and Jack Johnson. And that usually made up the third pair. Obviously, Bo playing up when people were injured. That's a very bona fide top 4 defenseman that was on your third pair. So the Avalanche used him as such. But there wasn't a lot of turnover, you know. A little over a year ago, we saw Eric Johnson sign with the Buffalo Sabres and move on. But even with that, the other main six of 7 still remained, because Colorado last season was trotting out Byram and Jack Johnson on the third pair. But then Bowen Byram ends up getting traded the same day Sean Walker's brought in. So then Sean Walker and Jack Johnson became a pair. And then Jack walks, Sean Walker leaves. Walker walks, as I should put it. And then the Avalanche, you know, they had Sam Malinsky looking to make a jump. Sam Malinsky's not a young guy. He is still young. 25, 26 is not old by any means, but he's not a rookie 19, 20 years old. He's actually a few months older than Kale McCarr. Sam Malinsky wanted a spot on this roster and is looking to get one. And then the Avs, on the opening day of free agency, they go out and sign Calvin DeHaan. And it started to kind of look like Malinsky's going to be the puck mover that replaces what Byram/Walker were. And Calvin DeHaan would be that veteran presence on the left side the more stay-at-home defensemen that would replace Jack Johnson. And that's what it looked like until the second day of free agency, Colorado goes out and signs Eric Brandstrom, a very low-risk, high-reward signing. And then about a month later, they get another one of those guys in Oliver Shillington. And very quickly, as I mentioned just a little bit ago, Calvin DeHaan and Sam Malinsky no longer became my favorable third pair. I think it's going to be Brandstrom and Shillington. But with all of that, I think because of the changes, you know, you have three new guys and then Sam Malinsky, who's kind of also new, but not quite. The Avalanche and the coaching staff felt it was necessary to get these guys acclimated to playing with each other in pretty much all scenarios, because something about having that familiarity on the blue line for these last few years has made it very easy for Jared Bednar to make switches when necessary. You know, when Josh Manson gets injured, you know you can play Byram with Gerard. When Gerard had to go into the player assistance program, you know that you can play Byram with Manson. You can play Jack Johnson with Byram. You can play Jack Johnson with Sam Gerard. You can play Devon Taves with Sam Gerard. That was a pairing in the 2021 season, if you remember. Makar with Gerard in those offensive zone draws. Manson with Taves in more defensive-minded situations. It was always nice for the Avalanche's coaching staff to have the ability to know that their seven defensemen that played in the playoffs in 2022 and pretty much dragged through these last three seasons with the team all had familiarity with each other. But now you've got eight guys and only four of them are from the Cup team. Malinsky wasn't here, DeHaan wasn't here, Brandstrom wasn't here, Shillington wasn't here. So that familiarity isn't quite there. And Sam Malinsky did get a little bit of a taste of NHL action last year, and he played pretty damn well doing it, but he didn't get to play with everybody. So this is Jared Bednar familiarizing all of the new guys and getting them acclimated in a way that he probably wishes he did with the forwards last year, because we did see a little bit of a split in the dressing room. Some pretty tough quotes coming out from Devon Taves, if you remember, obviously ending up in the trade of Ryan Johansson, attaching a first-round draft pick to him to ship him off to Philadelphia to get Sean Walker. So I think the coaching staff's getting ahead and really ensuring that you have eight capable NHL defensemen, nine if you include Kali Rosen, who, by the way, Jared Bednar has gone out of his way to say, I have nine guys on defense that can play on any given night, which says to me that he's speaking about Kali Rosen. But you have nine guys who aren't always all going to be healthy. Kale Makar has missed some games here and there. Sam Gerard, Josh Manson. These guys don't always play full seasons. Would it be ideal to have every single one of these guys play 82 games? Yes, of course. But the reality is that that's not always the way it shakes out. So having all of these guys familiar with each other is the way to go. And I am so excited if what we saw today on Sunday ends up sticking on Monday, which by the time you're hearing this, we may have already been to morning skate Monday morning and seeing the new lines and the new pairings. But if what we saw on Sunday sticks for the first preseason game, I would love to see Brandstrom play with Kale Makar. If you go to my tweet where I posted the group one lines Sunday morning when the Avalanche had released them to us media and we posted it, I had put those lines out and I had mentioned that the defense pairings were scrambled again. And if you read through the comments on my tweet, the responses to it, the quotes, it's a whole bunch of Ottawa Senators fans talking about how Brandstrom is about to take off playing with Kale Makar. There was one that I read that was like, oh, he used to play with Hamonic. Now it's Kale Makar. Finally, a team that's showing him the respect he deserves. Look at the Avalanche giving Brandstrom an opportunity. I can't wait to see Brandstrom reach his potential and actually reach his ceiling with the Colorado Avalanche. A lot of Senators fans knew they had something with this guy. And I think the Avalanche think they have something with him too. And I'm so excited to see how it shakes out for him. So we'll get those lines on Monday. Preseason action at Ball Arena. The Dallas Stars are back, which is a really fun way to start the preseason, given the way the season ended last year. Now, moving on to a couple of other things. Jared Bednar on Sunday, he spoke after the second session. Admittedly, half of us media were gone by then because he was supposed to speak at 12, ended up speaking at 2:30. So there was obviously a 2.5 hour gap there where several of us decided to leave. But because of the media that stayed back, we did get some quotes from Bednar. And one of the things he said, courtesy of Corey Massasek of the Denver Post, is that he's not ruling out Arturi Lehkonen. I did mention that I would speak more about him. He's not ruling out Arturi Lehkonen for opening night, but it'll be close if he manages to get in for that game on October 9th at Vegas. Bednar also did speak about the goalies. And he said that he expects to play a lot of Georgiev and Anenin in the preseason. He wants each of those guys to be in on 3 games, obviously specifying not full games, but parts of those games. You often see, you know, 2 goalies play split games in the preseason and get half and half, or 2 periods and 1 periods, or so on and so forth. So the Avalanche this year, they know who their top goalies are. It's Alexander Georgiev, it's Justus Annunen. You know, this isn't like a season ago where you kind of had Ivan Prosvetov, kind of Justus Annunen. You know, the year before that, you had a healthy Pavel Francouz, but the year before that, you had a lot of Jonas Johansson involved in there, and a Devan Dubnyk showed up in 2021, and a whole mess of goalies. Colorado right now has a clear divide. Their top 2 goalies are Alexander Georgiev and Justus Annunen. Their next set of guys are Kevin Mandelis and Trent Miner. So those 2 guys will be in the AHL, but because of that, Bednar does want to see both of his goalies. One of the biggest storylines of the season last year wasn't just the roller coaster of a year that Alex Georgiev had, but it was the way that Colorado just didn't know who their backup goalie was until like late February, a couple weeks before the trade deadline, where they finally had that trust and confidence in Annunen after a couple of big games to, you know, really give him that role and let him stick with it rather than go out and spend draft capital or whatever it may be on a Jake Allen or some other goalie, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury or whoever it may be, may have been. So you will see both of those guys. Touching on the goalies, I spoke to Georgiev today, and God, first of all, Georgiev's such a wonderful guy. I listened to the other podcasts in the Avalanche realm from other media, and we all say the same things about him. He's such a good dude. He listens when you speak with him. When you speak to him, he doesn't give half-assed answers. And today I talked to him about, you know, this is the first year. This isn't the first time he's going into a season on the last year of his deal, but this is the first time where, when his deal expires, if he's not re-signed, he's an unrestricted free agent. This isn't team control. This isn't RFA Rangers. This truly is UFA for the first time for him. And he said, you try not to think too much about it, obviously saying that it is something that is on his mind. He did have a little bit of a comment in there about how he hopes business will take care of itself throughout the season. He even mentioned something about being hopeful that the two sides start talking soon, which obviously says to me, and you know, if you read between the lines, pretty straightforward. Chris McFarland and Georgiev's representatives have not yet started talking contract extension. This doesn't surprise me in the least bit, but you know, it's nice to hear it from Georgiev. But as is the case with professional athletes, you won't see that get in the way of his focus on the ice. Georgiev is in tune. I think Georgiev's had a wonderful camp, and I think this is a guy that, if he has the proper support and stability of a backup netminder, is going to have an excellent season for the Colorado Avalanche. So I'm really excited to see how that goes. I wonder if he gets the first taste of NHL preseason action. I don't know if Jared Bednar is going to want to take him on the road much. Usually veterans get a little bit more of home cooking in the preseason so that they can avoid that. So I'm genuinely curious, but I think we will see, obviously we'll see one of Georgiev or Annunen, but I think it will be Georgiev on Monday. But with that, I think I'll end it here. 3 podcasts since Wednesday. Obviously, I've been talking about this, that there will be a lot more live podcasts this year. I'll be live on X. I'll be live on YouTube when I have the chance. All of the videos will be on YouTube, granted. Albeit this episode is audio only, but I'm going to be ramping up the coverage, and I'm sorry for throwing this as a little bit of a disclaimer at the end of every episode, at least to start the season. But if you are an Apple Podcast person, please leave a 5-star review and please take the time to throw in a comment on what you like about this podcast. If you're on Spotify or on any other podcatchers, whether it's YouTube Music or any of the other apps out there, please do throw me a 5-star review. Those help me grow this podcast to grow it to a point where I can bring out more episodes and have more content for you guys. So I'm going to continue this throughout the year. Obviously, I mentioned this a couple episodes again. 23-24 was just a blip in the road for this podcast. This is the same podcast feed that JJ and I had for many, many years as Hockey Mountain High. And it's now revamped, renamed Ringside with Arif Dean. I have a placeholder logo in there now. I will have that updated here soon. But I hope you guys follow along. I hope you guys leave those 5-star reviews and shoot me some tweets, shoot me some DMs. Let me know what you like about the show. Let me know what you dislike and let me know what you'd like to see more of. But with that, if you've made it this far in the show, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.